Last day of August. Yes, it has arrived, and it has occurred to me that I want to ask a question. I'll start with it as we say good morning to our buddy Jason Cairns. Best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask people, what's your favorite memory of the summer?
Boy, my favorite memory of the summer. That's a good question. What jumps to mind immediately? Certainly going to visit my mom, even though it was a challenging conversation. It was good to be able to do that. I think that's what comes to mind immediately.
Yeah, I think I would say there was not a summer vacation for me. Think even just even this past Saturday, I mean, the huge turnout of WIB listeners, Jason Gray music. Six of the seven members of my family were there. My wife kind of fresh back from Liberia. So I'm going to go with that one for now. So.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
So we'll ask our listeners, 715-396-1670, what's your favorite memory of the summer as it is August 31st? We don't have to let go. I mean, this is always kind of that discussion, right? Like, is summer over now, or can we extend it, you know, a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Good question.
And the temperatures are going to be, you know, mid-80s tomorrow, 90s weekend and into Labor Day. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's always the challenge, is that the temperatures don't always reflect the idea that we're getting into fall.
Right.
It's a slow fade.
Yes. I think one of your summer highlights, though, has to be the photography you did.
Yeah, you know, that was really good. I was actually comparing this summer's photography with last summer's, and in some regards, I feel like I got better pictures last year than I did this year, but I really did get a lot of good shots this year. Some that are in my top set of pictures. And, so that's been good. You know, taking days and just driving around in the countryside looking for things to take pictures of, and certainly continuing to photograph bees has been a highlight.
Yeah, your photos that are posted on Facebook help me kind of appreciate just the intricacies that God is involved in, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I'm changing my answer.
Okay.
And I'm embarrassed to even say it. My granddaughter was born.
Yes, yes, yes. There we go. That's our
highlight. You know, I mean, that's my highlight.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
We'll edit the tape.
But again yesterday.
So. We'll edit the tape. Yes, that's it. All right. All right. We move now to part five of the story everyone needs to hear. The hero takes center stage, Matthew through John. Larry Crabb in 66 Love Letters calls Matthew, Jesus takes over. It's a full paragraph, each of the Gospels, and it reads like this. Never think that I changed from the angry God of the Old Testament to the loving God of the New. I am the same always. I tell one story of a God who hates sin but loves you. The love in my love story now becomes plainly visible to all with eyes to see. My son, the eternal God, second person in our community of three, comes to change everything, to make all things new, including your heart. He has taken charge. He's the king of the coming kingdom. His mission to expose and destroy self-centeredness and to bring our way of doing things into you and your world, to get heaven into you and to bring more of heaven into others by the way you relate.
Mm,
there's a lot
beautiful.
There.
Yeah, there's a lot there. You know, I think for me it's the standing out in the middle of that, kind of the idea of that he's making all things new, you know, and to frame that in a relational context, you know, that our relationship with God, with ourselves, with one another, that God is in the process of renewing those things.
Yeah, and he ties in relating there. He's came to change you in the way you relate. I mean, he's got the Trinity, our
yep.
community. I mean, a lot of good stuff there. So,
yeah.
All right, there you go, folks. So get your copy, either your hard copy of 66 Love Letters or, you know, the audio book, and give that a listen here over the Labor Day holiday weekend. I know it's been out there for a while, but still highly recommended.
Yeah.
All right.
Still good.
We are down to the end today, and tomorrow we're going to finish up Galatians. How about that?
Yeah, so how about if we do 16 today and then finish up with 17 and 18 tomorrow?
I did give a thumb up on that plan. Very
good. You
got
my message? Okay, cool.
We'll run that play. Yeah. And then also, before we do Galatians, Cody chiming in the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group saying, hey, I'd love it if you guys did the Gospel of John. So I want to open to other considerations, and I guess come Tuesday we'll find out where we're going, okay? So,
yeah, that sounds good.
All right, what
all
do
right,
we got?
So Galatians 6:16
yeah.
says, "May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God."
And in the Letters to the Beloved, your devotional commentary, you write this about that one verse. "Beloved, when you walk in this newfound freedom, you live in my peace and mercy. You will know the wholeness that only I can give through my son's finished work and my son's ongoing activity within you. I want all people to learn and live in this freedom."
Yeah, I think for me, the idea that freedom begins to shape how we live. I mean, even it ties in with the Matthew stuff that, you know, Christ came to set us free, and in so doing is in the process of making all things new, you know, bringing us to a life of wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the Spirit's at work with that.
There's that live in this freedom again. All right.
You bet.
Well, I think a perfect
common
song.
Common Galatians.
On the heels of what we read in Matthew, how about Stephen Curtis Chapman, Heaven in the Real World?
Great. Good song. Good
all right.
Choice.
What was your highlight of the summer, which has just kind of streaked by us? And people like Eileen are saying the highlight was definitely OneFest. Thank you, Eileen. Jim says he and his wife's beautiful marriage renewal. That's pretty cool. Charles also saying We Are Messengers and Skillet at OneFest was an awesome highlight. Question is, what's your favorite memory of the summer? What was your highlight? And Arnie says, I didn't have a good summer, but a couple of highlights. I'm sorry to hear that, Arnie. Well, we're here for you, buddy. But he says a couple of highlights were church at the fair and this past Saturday with family fun night plus Pure Water Day parade. All right. And also Eileen says the highlight was definitely OneFest. Well, if given the option to take the stairs or the elevator, which again, we don't have a lot of elevators probably in the Chippewa Valley, but what do you typically do?
Well, here's the thing. Since my children now enjoy elevators, it used to be something where Nora was a little shaky about it, didn't necessarily love the feeling of going up and down elevators.
Yeah.
Now, if we happen to be staying in a hotel, which happens, you know, once or twice a year, she really looks forward to being in the elevator.
Okay.
So again, that's about the only time when I probably would be in a situation where there is an elevator. So yes, long-winded reply, I would typically take the elevator.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I do think, you know, like, all right, stairs, you know, it's good for you. Get your steps. And apparently, you can get healthy by simply taking the stairs.
Yes, a small Swiss from Switzerland study found that walking up and down stairs for 3 months increased levels of fitness dramatically.
Yeah, subjects also saw a marked reduction in waist size,
body fat,
blood pressure,
and cholesterol.
Yeah, all of which are known risk factors for heart disease. I think I'm sticking with the stairs.
Here's the thing. We do not have elevators in our building, but we do have stairs.
Yeah.
So I guess I could just walk up and down those a few times, and I absolutely get it. And here's the thing. When we were recently in the Dells, I was telling you this off the air, I noticed when walking up, you know, there's pretty long flights of stairs backtracking up to get to some of those higher water slides.
Yeah.
And I was walking up there with my 16-year-old brother, Will. Again, he's very fit. He's an athlete. He was always ahead of me. But I also noticed I'm getting a lot more winded by the top of this than I remember as a youngster.
Yeah, right.
I didn't think anything of climbing up. And so I can totally see how if you do this regularly, absolutely health benefits. So maybe we all should do a little bit more stair walking.
And, you know, there's some different places like downtown, just kind of off of downtown Eau Claire, or also UW-Eau Claire, there's like lots of stairs. If you want to do this just like for exercise, right?
I was watching actually a documentary recently. I this does have a point, but it was about the Florida Gators by Tim Tebow days and things like that too. And how their coach, when they had a tough loss that he thought they should not have had, he made every member of the team walk, actually run all the steps in the entire stadium that holds almost 100,000 people.
Yeah.
They had to do every single step. And I'm like, yeah, I could see how you'd be breathing hard after that.
I guess
that.
So. Hey, we're asking you, what was your highlight of the summer? What's your best summer memory? I said for me, it was the gathering we had on Saturday. Six out of the seven members of my family were there. My wife was just back from Liberia, Jason Gray. And I saw my kids. Mrs. Schranz was the fifth grade teacher for two of my kids, and she was sitting there near the stage as her kids were among the kids that were dancing. It was kind of like a little slice of heaven with this guy singing, Jason Gray on with.
Well, why are flies so hard to swat? When they're buzzing around your picnic potato salad this Labor Day weekend, you're saying, how can I get rid of these things? Well, turn to science.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Scientists discovered why flies are so hard to swat, and in doing so, they also discovered the perfect way to swat them.
Researchers at the California Institute of Technology, sometimes I think, wow, I don't ever remember being able to do things like this when I was in college.
Yeah.
But maybe I was in the wrong department. But anyway, researchers at CIT say a fly's brain plans the best way to avoid a good swatting within 100 milliseconds of spotting you looming toward it with that rolled up magazine.
Is that right?
That's a very quick response time.
I guess. Within that time, the fly also places its legs in an optimal position to hop out of the way in the opposite direction, leaving you swatting the table.
Again, all within 100 milliseconds. I dare say that fly's reaction time is faster than yours or mine. But the research also suggests an optimal method, Halvo, for actually swatting a fly.
Yeah, it is best not to swat at the fly's starting position,
but rather to aim a bit forward.
To anticipate where the fly is going to jump when it's first sees your swatter.
Here's the thing. We were just watching the new Ahsoka Star Wars show, and this just kind of sounds like using the Force. It's like, don't swat where the fly is, Padawan.
Yeah, right.
Swat where it's going to be.
Well, isn't that what Wayne Gretzky, the great one, did in hockey? Don't go where the puck is, where you're anticipating.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to be a great one when it comes to fly swatting.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So the Whip Wake Up Show, you never know what kind of tip we're going to offer you. Well, she's no stranger to faith-based films. Andrea Polnasek of Chippewa Falls, her latest movie out next week Friday, and she joins us in studio. Andrea, good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
So, Andrea, the new film here, Identity Crisis, you've been telling me again, it's not a simple, quick process to put a film together on this scale, too. I mean, this has been something about a year and a half in the making, even longer when you go back to when you and your sister originally wrote this.
Yes, we wrote it over 2 years ago and then filmed January 2022, all on location at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. Mm. But as you can imagine, you know, you go from writing the script, imagining it, and then trying to find the college and find the location that's the best fit and then make it all work within that location, which takes time.
Yeah.
This is your sixth faith-based film, and people can remember, like, Catching Faith shot back here in the Chippewa Valley, which was the first, right?
That was the first, yes. It was all on location here in the valley between Chippewa and Eau Claire, which is beautiful. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that. So let's just say that again. Catching Faith, it's available for free on Prime right now. You can watch it, stream it on Prime. I think it's on Tubi as well. It's on PureFlix. And it's all, you'll see all of our, familiar landmarks here in the valley.
Now, Identity Crisis, you really aim a lot of times, you and your sister, for young adults with these films. That's the target audience because there are messages that need to be told that aren't necessarily told in a lot of what maybe we see in pop culture and things from Hollywood. So Identity Crisis, what was kind of the underlying bedrock of message that you want to get out? Again, faith-based films and talking and speaking to young people and the things that they're going through and struggling with.
Well, Identity Crisis is all about a shy science whiz who suffers from imposter syndrome, never raises her hand in class, doesn't want to hand in her work because she doesn't want to get anything wrong, doesn't want to work in a group, and she ends up cloning herself to create the perfect version of herself, thinking if she was assertive and if she was confident and if she was brave, that would fix everything. Well, her clone goes out and takes over her life, and she realizes, well, I'm not getting to do any of these things anyway. And then in the end, that God had actually given her the capacity to do these things. She just had to try. Mm. And I think that, yes, that fits for young adults and for college students, but it also fits for me. Can't tell you how many times I think, well, I can't do that. How could I say yes to that? And I think one of the principles that we've really tried to talk about throughout the film is that God, if he's our foundation, we can do all things through him. And we do need to lean on him, lean into him, ask him to help us. And then we can have the courage to go and do amazing things in the world. Mm.
So you've got some twin sisters in this movie.
Yes, I do. Scout and Sophia Lepore. We did a nationwide twin search, actually. Lisa London Casting did that, and they were just delightful. They were wonderful to work with, and you'll see magical in the film. They each take their part perfectly.
So Talking with Andrea Polnasek, Identity Crisis opens at Micon Cinemas Chippewa Falls 1 week from tomorrow. Go out and support this. Again, Andrea, it should be at Micon for a week, but the more it's supported, the more possibilities that it could stay even longer. And so faith-based filmmaking, again, local screenwriters, and just there's a lot of reasons for folks to go out and support this. And you were saying, too, again, got to see it in the theater. You were hoping that maybe it'd be picked up by the streaming services, and that's just not really the direction, unfortunately, that a lot of them are going with what they are pushing toward young people. And so we have a chance to kind of make a statement here that, hey, this is the kind of content we want.
Mm-hmm. We would love to see it sell out at MyCon. Bring your 8 to 12-year-olds, particularly bring a gang of them. They sure will love it. It will be delightful. It'll be so fun. It's bright. It's poppy. The music is really fun, and the message is awesome.
That's such an important age group because even different books that we've offered through the nonprofit as gift incentives over the years, I think tween, right? I mean, in terms of 8 to 12, your son's, I think, going on 8 in March, right, Caleb? And so, is that right?
He is 8.
He is 8, all right.
But I have a 12-year-old, too.
Yeah. So you understand that age group. But so you have a new director this time.
We do, Sherry Rigby. She's the star in Overcomer. And this was her directing debut, and she did an incredible job. We loved working with her, and you'll be able to see the magic that she brings through the camera.
And again, I mean, you can go out to LA and yeah, there's a lot of glitz in Tinseltown, right? I mean, you work with stars, but there's something too about, I would say, coming home too and being able to get the support from your hometown. And we're hoping again that people really step up, Andrea, and support you here locally as well too. And then that hopefully, Lord willing, this film really takes off.
Thank you. I want to celebrate, and I just hope our whole community can celebrate because this is a really meaningful film, and it's fun, and I'd love to see families come on out to MyCon and support this great film.
MyCon Chippewa Falls, again, 1 week from tomorrow, 8 days away, Identity Crisis. Andrea Polnasek, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show. We've got 5 things you didn't know yesterday this morning on the program here on WWIB, and we've got a sound bed to go with it.
Dropping a little knowledge on you again. 5 different things that, you know what, you didn't know these yesterday, more than likely, and we didn't either.
Right.
We just happened to read them first on the interwebs. So, how about this one? The universe is mostly empty space with galaxies and stars making up less than 5% of its total mass.
All right. Interesting. Huh. Didn't know. Hey, how about this? Did you know a shrimp's heart is located in its head?
I did not know that, but I know it now.
So if you were like evangelistic to a shrimp, you wouldn't say like, hey, there's 18 inches from your head to your heart.
There you go. 5 things you didn't know yesterday here in the WIB Wake Up Show. You think about the largest population on Earth, and you probably think China or India. Well, actually, it's Lego minifigures.
Huh.
Apparently, that's the largest single population on Earth. I'm thinking the Swenson household accounts for a good chunk of that.
And which, when's the last time you stepped on one?
Not long ago.
Okay. And here's number 4. In 2008, Yoda had trouble signing up for Facebook. Yeah, Japanese author Hiroko Yoda kept getting error messages when she tried to sign up.
Huh. All right. Yoda. I thought about pulling out the Yoda voice.
Yeah, right.
And finally, our 5th thing you didn't know yesterday, a Spanish restaurant recently paid almost $33,000 for a 4.85-pound piece of handmade cheese, thus setting a new world record for the most expensive piece of cheese.
Wow, that's crazy. For a piece of cheese? Why?
Yeah, $32,800 for a piece of, I don't know how to say it, Cabrales cheese made by hand from cow and goat milk and matured for several months in a cave. You want to try some of my cave cheese?
So don't just leave it lying around in the fridge like, you know, who shredded the $33,000 cheese?
Oh, goodness gracious. Again, almost 5 ounces. It's a decent chunk of cheese, but also a decent chunk of change.
Yes.
Almost $33,000 for, must be some really good cave cheese.
I guess. Hey, we were asking this morning throughout the show, WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group and online, the listener line, 396-1670. What was your favorite summer memory? What was your highlight? A couple of answers we hadn't shared yet. Sherry says the summer's been busy with many fun days, but the biggest highlight was my daughter's wedding on August 19th. Hey, congratulations to her.
Yes.
And Julie also, 2 new beautiful grandbabies joining the family this summer.
Praise the Lord for that.
Absolutely.